Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Words are a very powerful thing. They change the world as we know it. Think about it, even from a young age, right? A little girl who hands off her note to a little boy and it says, "Do you like me?" And the way that that little boy might respond to that note can either have a very profound positive effect on their self-image or a very negative effect, depending on how things go. Or, you know, maybe as kids grow up and they start thinking about college, words can have a very powerful effect. Words that are located in an application or a scholarship essay or something of that nature, and it's either acceptance or rejection. Not to mention those little transcripts, right, with all those little tiny letters, A through F. And depending on which letters you receive, it has a very profound impact on how the future might unfold. Maybe as we continue even a little bit further, right, any young woman who has been dating a gentleman for a while and is seeking marriage might have her entire world changed as he gets down on one knee and says, "Will you marry me?" The words literally change the relationship forever. And then consequently, as we keep going, maybe a few years down the road, as children embark into this relationship, then the woman gets to change the relationship forever when she announces to her husband that they are expecting. Because the truth is that you can't unhear the word. That's not the way words work. They go out, and as soon as they hit your ears, it is impossible for me to retrieve them. And this is exactly what happens in our gospel text for today. We hear these words. "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." Well, this sort of starts in the middle of a story because Mary is going with haste immediately after she hears the proclamation from the angel. She hears the words of the angel that she is going to have the Christ child. She's going to be the mother of God. Jesus will be her son. And so what does this word cause her to do but to rise up immediately, pack her bags as fast as she can, and hightail it over to Elizabeth's place? Why? Because this account that we're about to unfold this morning needed to happen for you. It needed to happen so that you understood the importance of God's word and you understood some very, very important things about who Jesus is. And honestly, about what the word can do. And so had it not been for this message of the angels, Mary wouldn't have left. But the word makes it happen. And so Mary eventually, she makes it to Elizabeth's house and she greets Elizabeth. And as soon as she does, the baby leaps in her womb. And this isn't like, you know, like pregnant women generally feel the baby, you know, do the nudging and the kicking and all that sort of stuff. That's not what we're talking about here, right? This is like a divine jumping movement inside of Elizabeth. And why did it happen? She tells us. As soon as she heard the greeting, the words that Mary shares with Elizabeth, and we get actually what the words are in verse 46 and following. It's kind of outside the text for this morning. But we hear that Mary tells her all about how she is going to bear the Christ into the world. And so when these words come to the baby believes. John the Baptist, at 6 months old, 6 months in utero, believes the words of the gospel. That's an amazing thing. And the word makes it happen. This is how powerful the word of God is. It can create faith in unborn children. That's amazing. Well, Elizabeth, also upon hearing this greeting, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Again, what does the word do for Elizabeth? She believes the greeting of Mary, and she herself cannot help but exclaim with a loud voice, "Mary, this is a spectacular gift." She actually believed Mary's word. She actually knew that the baby inside Mary's belly in her womb was going to be the Savior of the world. She had no way to prove it. She had no way to measure. She had no way to know whether or not this was just a regular baby or if it was the Son of God. The thing that was important was the word. And as the text tells us, the word is filled with the Holy Spirit. When this word comes into Elizabeth's ears, she is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the word can make things happen that we just can't explain. The word is powerful enough to get it done, because words are powerful. And in fact, what happens next is then Mary gets to tell Mary, or Elizabeth gets to tell Mary who she is. "Mary, you have the word that you received from the angel. You handed it off to me, and now let me tell you, you are blessed." Because this is what Christians do with the word. We bounce the word back and forth to each other. If I know the promises of Jesus, and I know you're going through a difficult time, and maybe you're blinded by your own sorrow, I can come and speak that word to you to sustain your faith, to strengthen you. And then when I'm going through a difficult time and I'm blinded by my sorrow, you can come and you can speak to me the same word. Or granted, maybe you're going through a time of rejoicing and the same thing happens. Thanks be to God that you're going through a wonderful time. Thanks be to God, tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Thanks be to God, it's the happiest time of the year because of a Savior. A Savior who is still in the womb in the middle of this text, but the word, as it goes out, has a profound effect on everybody involved in this story. Because words are powerful. Because words make things happen. My friends, this is a lesson that we need to take to heart, because it's true even for us today, and not only in things of the church. It's true every single day of our lives and every interaction that we have with somebody else. Are we loving God with our words, or are we loving ourselves? Are we loving our neighbor with our words, or are we loving ourselves? Because the truth is that it's really easy to love ourselves, but it's what we do most often. Well, since pregnancy is an important factor in our text, I think it's only fair that we mention some of the lying words that affect our world. There's a place in our world called Planned Parenthood, and it's where pregnant women go to have their babies killed. And granted, Planned Parenthood will never call a baby. They'll call it a fetus, which is kind of a giant joke because fetus literally means baby in Latin. But what happens is when women go to this place, they hear lies. They hear false words. That a baby in utero is not a baby. Except we have evidence from our text even today that a 6-month-old baby in utero can have faith, can leap for joy at the proclamation of the gospel. But yet when the lying word comes to people, when they believe the lies, evil results. If we want to continue, you know, on Satan's attack on family, we have people who enter marital relations before marriage. And the world will tell you that's the next logical step. If you're dating and you want to go to the next step of commitment, go ahead, move in together, it's all good. But yet, if you look at the statistics, the divorce rate for those who marry after living together is much higher. It's a lot easier for the relationship to break down, for it to fail. Why? Because it's a lying word. God doesn't want relationships to break down. He wants them to last, especially when this one flesh union is involved. And so what happens, though? But when people believe the lying word, evil results. maybe if we back up a little bit, maybe take it a little bit. Small potatoes, maybe? Although not really. Because even on the schoolyard, when kids are bullied with words, it hurts. You know, somebody once said, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me." It was the biggest lie that's ever been told. Because words do hurt. And the kid who gets bullied beyond their comprehension, beyond what they can stand, and sometimes these kids take their own lives. Because words are powerful. Because when a bully comes, kids start to think that they're worthless. But God's word tells us different. It tells us that everybody is worthwhile, that God loves all people and he wants all people to live as he has given them life. But when people believe the lies, evil results. Words are powerful. Whether you want to admit it or not, words are very important. And sometimes in our life, we don't know the right thing to say. And sometimes when we don't know the right thing to say, sometimes we say the wrong thing. And sometimes we actually listen to the lies of the world and we give in to them. But what if we were to change the script? What if we were to make things different? What if we took every single opportunity to rejoice in the truth that God has given us instead of the lies of the world? What if we set ourselves to form our lives around the foundation of Scripture, to make His truth, His Word, the loudest voice in our lives? It would lead us to be the church that God intended us to be. Where yes, when we go through times of sorrow, we can come alongside one another and support each other in that Word. And when we go through times of rejoicing, we can come alongside one another and we can rejoice in God's Word. We can live in all of God's promises and all of God's Word together. Defeating the evil, defeating the suffering. Because that's what the Word's about. It's about how Jesus comes to defeat all evil and sorrow and suffering in our world. He does it by being a baby in utero. He does it by being the Word of God made flesh. He does it by growing into a man and sharing this gospel message of salvation with everyone he comes across. He does it by going to a cross where he bleeds and he dies. My friends, words are important. They have the power to make people leap for joy. And they have the power to make people commit great evil. Well, my friends, Jesus has left you with words. In his ascension, he disappeared, right? I've never seen him with my eyes, and I assume you haven't either. But what he left behind for us on earth was words that we could trust, words that were powerful, words that were true, words that would do all kinds of wonderful things for us. Because the truth is that the Word does exactly what it says it does. Your sins are forgiven. For any lie that you've fed into, for any time that you misspoke, for any time that you said the wrong thing or failed to say the right thing at all, you're forgiven. And it's done for you even now, and you're hearing the Word. Because that's how powerful God's Word is. That's what God's Word does for you. Or, you know, because we do have our flesh and our blood and all this other, you know, sometimes what God does, he takes his Word and he attaches it to something that we can see and feel and touch, like the water of baptism. He takes water, he takes Word, he puts them together, and what does the Word accomplish? It makes you his child. It washes away your sin. It ensures you a place in the heavenly kingdom forever. Because the Word can do it. Because that's how powerful God's Word is. And even this morning, like I said, we have bread and wine on the altar. And what does Jesus do with bread and wine? He takes that powerful, efficient Word and he attaches it together. That way the bread becomes his body and the wine becomes his blood, and it delivers to you the very Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. The same Word of God who is Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who died an innocent death, and who rose from the grave 3 days later. This is what the Word does for you. It gives you Jesus, full and free. Because God's word is powerful. My friends, we cling to the word. Because like Elizabeth, we know that by hearing the word, our faith is strengthened and sustained. And even though we can't always feel it, the word gives us peace and joy and hope and love. All of the wonderful blessings of God that the world cannot give. The word makes it happen. My friends, tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Today we focus on Jesus coming one last time. We know that Jesus came as a baby, born in a manger, but he came to be the efficient word for you, a word that declares you forgiven through, yes, his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. You are forgiven. How do I know? Because the word made flesh makes it happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.